I've been looking at the book of Luke the last couple of days in Luke chapter 9. It's at the very end of Luke chapter 9, which is a rather long chapter, 62 verses. We kind of looked as a reference all the way back in verse number 23, where we saw that Jesus had said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." So this is the call that Jesus has. As his followers, we are to take up our cross. In other words, we deny ourselves. We acknowledge that our lives, we have freely given our lives because they've been purchased by the price of his blood. So we have died to self, we live in him. And this is what we do daily. We acknowledge our life is not our own, but it belongs to him, and we serve him. And then we started looking at verses 57 through 62, the very last concluding verses of this chapter, the ninth chapter of Luke. And it says in verse 57 on, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" So we're looking at all three of these examples. We have the two men that came to Jesus and said, "I will follow you," and we see Jesus' response. And of course, there's the one man that Jesus even invited and said, "Come, follow me." And he gave his response, to which Jesus responded to. Now, the first man we saw, as Jesus talked about, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." This is a reference to what happened just before this, as the Samaritan village rejected Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. And this is Jesus saying to this man who said, "I'll follow you anywhere," this is Jesus letting him know that there's a cost to following me, and the cost is that you're going to be rejected. The world itself will reject you. This is part of what happens when you follow me. But as we looked at and saw, it's always well worth it. There's nothing that exceeds the benefit of knowing that you are a vessel, a usable vessel in Jesus Christ that takes the light, takes the truth, takes the freedom and the liberty of Jesus Christ to a world that even though they deny Jesus, they hunger for Jesus and they hunger for the truth and the freedom and the liberty that comes in him. And even though the world rejects you, you still have the honor of being one of those who takes his truth, his light, his good news to the world. We saw the second individual was the one that Jesus said, "Follow me." And he said, "Let me first go bury my father." In other words, he was saying, "You know, Lord, let me just, you know, my father's an old man. After he's dead and I've buried him, then I'll come follow you." But you can't be a follower of Jesus in the future. It has to be now. And from the reality of it, if this man would have tried to have waited and followed Jesus later, there wouldn't have been a later. Because for him to have followed Jesus in the flesh at that time, well, Jesus is not that far from the crucifixion. So if that man did wait, well, it was a wait that would have precluded him the opportunity to walk with Jesus in the flesh and blood. We can't look towards the future and say, "I'll follow you in the future. I have these other things to take care of. After I get my degree, after I get my family settled, after..." We always have these reasons. We follow him today. We follow him because, it goes back to verse number 23, if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, then it's daily taking up our cross. It's not just on the occasions that we have the time, and it's not on the occasions when it's convenient. This is the daily call that we have. And now today, let's look at this last, final two verses of Luke chapter 9, verses 61 and 62. "And another said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me go first and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom.'" This is a great illustration that Jesus gives to this man who says, "Look, I'll follow you anywhere, but let me first go take care of these things." What that young man is saying, or what the man is saying, is, "I'm giving priority to these physical, to these natural things first. Once I get that taken care of, then I will attend to the spiritual matters." And again, that's backwards. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you." So this man is looking to take care of the physical, the natural things first. Then once he has all that he perceives he has in order, then he'll attend to the spiritual things. That's contrary to the Word of God. It's backwards to the way we do things in Jesus Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God. I do the things of the kingdom first. I take care of the spiritual things first. I focus on the spiritual things first. This is what it's called. This is what you and I are called to as followers in Jesus Christ. This is to take up our cross daily and to follow Him. So Jesus responds to him and says, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now here's the picture we can get in our minds from this which Jesus is saying to this man. Because this man is looking back. He's looking towards the physical. He's looking towards the natural instead of towards the spiritual. He's trying to put the natural in order first and then attend to the spiritual. That's backwards. You can't do things backwards. And so the illustration that Jesus gives is no one puts his hand to the plow, looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, just picture this in your mind. And picture it in modern times, because it's even a more clear picture. You know, Jesus is giving the illustration that if somebody is plowing their fields, if you put your hand to the plow and you begin the work of plowing, if you're looking back all the time, you're going to be ineffective. You're going to be totally useless in what you're doing. You can kind of see that as you think about somebody behind an ox with a plow. If they're looking back, they're not really going to be doing a very good job of plowing that field. But you can really get a sense of that if you think about this in modern perspective. Think about the farmers who have the big, huge, you know, combines that they use in the fields. And they're covering lots of territory. As they're furrowing their fields, as they're plowing their fields, they're covering a lot of acres, each one of them, these big combines. Long, long rows that they have. So if you have somebody that is driving a combine, but they're always looking backwards at what they've just done, if they're looking behind them to see how straight their row is, instead of looking forward to make sure that they're getting that row straight and they're heading in the right direction, if they're looking backwards, well, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If they're looking backwards because they're worried about the straightness of their rows, then the automatic conclusion, the automatic result is going to be what they're going to see behind them. As they see the plow, the road they're just plowing, they're going to see it waver. They're going to see it be unyieldy. They're going to see it going in all directions. It is not going to be a linear, straight direction. It's going to be a mess. Because if you're looking backward, then you can't see where you're going. So if you're looking backward to make sure that you're doing a straight line, if you're looking backwards because you're fearful that maybe you're not going in a straight line, if you're looking backwards, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. What you're going to have is a mess. That what you were worried about is exactly what you're going to get. For the farmer, he's got to be looking ahead. He can't be looking backwards. If he's looking ahead and seeing what's in front of him and making sure he is on that right pathway, on the right direction, keeping that line straight, he doesn't have to look backwards because he knows he's keeping it straight. If he looks backwards, his fears become self-fulfilled and he has a mess. This is what Jesus is saying to this man. So the man is saying, "Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me go take care of this." He's looking backwards. Jesus is saying we have to look forward. Jesus is saying don't worry about getting your physical house in order before you get the spiritual house, because it doesn't work that way. It's impossible. If you're trying to get your physical, your natural life in order, then you'll attend to the spiritual matters. It's the same thing as the farmer on the combine looking backwards. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're never going to get your physical in order because you're looking backwards. You could be looking forward towards the spiritual things. You could be looking forward in Jesus Christ. These are three individuals that came to Jesus and said that they wanted to follow Jesus. Their desire was to follow him. Jesus first lets the first man know that if you're going to follow me, there's going to be rejection. And there's probably even going to be persecution, but that's okay. Because you get the glory of being the light bearer. You get the glory of taking the good news. You get the glory. You get the privilege of being able to share the freedom and the liberty of Jesus Christ to a world that needs it. The second man said, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he said, "Well, let me go take care of this. After everything else is done, then I'll come back." No. You've got to come forward. You've got to act now. You can't act later. You have to act now. And then the third example is the man that Jesus came to Jesus and he said again to Jesus, "I will follow you anywhere. But let me first go back and say goodbye to my household. You can't be looking backwards. You must always be looking forward in Jesus Christ. You know, what happens to us a lot in life is we get so caught up looking backwards. We look back and we see the times that we know that we've failed Jesus. And if we're looking back at our failures, it's impossible for us to go in a good straight line in the right direction, in the direction of Christ, if we're looking backwards. If you're looking backwards at the times that you failed Jesus, that you let him down, and you're focusing on that, whether you're looking at the natural, you're not looking at the spiritual. You need to be looking ahead in Christ. You know, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, I think it's verse 15, we see that we're being told, and this is talking, chapter 11 is that great chapter that talks about faith. You know, it's everybody always refers to it as the Faith Hall of Fame, which is actually a very clever way of looking at it because it's all the different examples of faith. In verse number 15, it says, let me get a little head start on this. This is talking about Abraham. Verse number 15 says, and truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. So we're being told, don't look backwards. If you look back, you have the opportunity. If you look back, you're tempted to return and go back to from where you came instead of going forward. This is the exact same thing that Jesus is saying to this man that said, I will follow you wherever you go. But first, let me go backwards. Let me look backwards. You can't look backwards. You have to look forward. If in your life you've looked backwards and you've seen your failures, and that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to see your failures. And he wants you to be overwhelmed. He wants you to feel worthless and unworthy. He wants you to feel unusable. He wants you to give up. Why even bother trying? I always failed in the past. I'll probably fail in the future. That's looking backwards. If you look backwards, you're going to be tempted to fall right back into those same habits. Instead, look forward. In Jesus. Move forward. Look ahead. Look at the spiritual. Look to Jesus. Look to his promises that are in the spiritual realm. You look ahead, not backwards. You look ahead, and you're going to be able to keep that straight row. You will be able to go in the direction to accomplish the things that Jesus has for your life. Look ahead. Don't look backwards. Again, we center all this going back to verse number 23, where Jesus said, whoever's going to follow after me must take up their cross daily and follow me every day. We need to realize, yep, we might get rejected, but that's okay. We have the honor and the privilege of taking the word, the truth, the good news to a world that needs it, denies it, but needs it and wants it. We also know that we're not to look backwards. We look forward in him. We look forward in all things. We don't look backwards. And we also know, as the one man said, let me go back and bury my father. We can't do it tomorrow. We have to go now. We start serving him now because you're a follower. Every day in your life is a life of serving him. And if we serve him, if we take up our cross daily and follow him, you get the results of advancing the kingdom of God because he moves through you. He moves through you. It's his power through you. But he needs us to move. Let's move forward and follow him. Take up our cross daily and follow him.